Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Happy to have you back. Happy to have Alex back.
Yeah, me too. Happy to be back.
I feel less
now
alone.
I'm married. I talk about like this the whole time. What do you think about that?
How about Minisode 200? We do that.
Minisode 200 is an all guttural
episode. What if we
don't?
We'll see how the public reacts.
What if we like just don't?
We'll leave it to the people.
For a full episode? Unless the topics are like, I'm creeping outside your window.
At one time, I had sex with a Bigfoot. And other topics.
Is that your article today,
alien
Alex?
Probes.
Oh yeah. No, the article that I have today is that I want to ask your permission to please let me read the very next story on this list of stories from.
Oh
this,
yeah, go for it.
From
yeah,
this
yeah,
reader
yeah.
story because
the what happened to Chuck story is good.
I glanced at it briefly and it just seems so fucking hilarious that I think it needs to be read, and I want to be the one to do it.
Do all it. Right. You're on. Take it.
This story. This is a minisode from a Reader Stories episode, by the way. So this is What Happened to Chuck by Gristlegran on Reddit. This is a story relayed to me by an old friend, but I got the okay to share it. Names have been changed, of course, and feel free to read on the podcast if you want. Me and five or six other coworkers were on lunch from our construction job, demoing a hospital on the shore of the St. John's River many years ago now. We were all sitting around one of those decorative concrete tables with the concrete benches, bullshitting and telling jokes as one does in a job like that. We had worked with this guy named Chuck since the project started, and he never really sat with the core group of guys, always seemingly preferring to sit in his truck or what have you. Chuck lived outside of the city of Jacksonville in a more rural location. The conversation got around to what else but aliens and the paranormal. Most of us all shared a story we heard or read in a book somewhere. It was jovial and lighthearted. Then it came to Chuck's turn. He looked nervous and a little anxious. After some light ribbing and asking him what was wrong, he asked us if he wanted to hear a real story that had happened to him and his family not 2 months ago at this point. I remember my dad, who I was working for and was a huge sci-fi nerd, perk up and was always down for a good story. Let us know. We were having a long lunch that day. Chuck was a hyper guy, always cracking jokes and just being full of energy all the time, almost to the point of tweaking. When Chuck sighed like a man who had something weighing on his shoulders, we all sat up and took notice. His friends, who also worked with us named Pete, placed his hand on Chuck's shoulder and told him it's all right. Presumably, he had already heard Chuck's story, which is what I'll get to now after all this setup. Chuck, his wife, and their son had all settled into bed one fall night, and everything seemed nice and quiet, what with it being in the country and them living in a trailer on a piece of land. Then, around midnight, Chuck said he heard something rustling outside. He tried to ignore it, reasoning it was some kind of varmint or something. What he couldn't explain away was his bedroom being filled with a bright, bluey-white light. He was able to look over and see his wife peacefully sleeping, unaware of the million-watt light bulb outside the window and filling the room. Then, there was darkness. He came to and looked around groggily as if he had been drugged. He wasn't alone. His wife, his son, and he were being moved down a bright hallway with lights passing over them. He recounted to us that, yes, he was moving, but it wasn't the familiar feeling of being rolled with the wheels bumping along. It was more like a gliding. His eyes darted around trying to process what was going on. About that time, a being that, hearing him describe it, sounded very much like a gray with the large head and almond-shaped eyes, reached and put his hand on his face. Chuck tried to yell out to wake up his wife and son for help, for anything. He was able to move his head just enough to see his wife and son being led into separate rooms, and then again, he went unconscious. Chuck was awoken from the sensation of pressure around his midsection. He was able to look around a little and saw more of the beings milling about as he was strapped in the machine that he described like an MRI machine around his midsection from his waist to just above the knee. One of the gray beings talked but did not move its mouth and told him to relax. It would be over soon. He described the feeling of ejaculating over and repeatedly, as if he was being milked. He remembered screaming as this was happening to him. Then he either passed out or was put under again. The next thing he remembered, his wife, his son, and himself were sitting on the couch completely naked. He said it was like they were suddenly jolted back into their bodies. They all looked at each other and suddenly started bawling their eyes out if they had experienced something traumatic, which they very much did. Days later, Chuck started to piece together what happened to him together from his memory. His wife and son had no recollection of the events of that, even when pressed by Chuck. They denied anything had happened to them, even the aftermath of them on the couch in the living room. I don't know much of the aftermath of what happened with Chuck and his family, but I do know that Chuck said he was separated from his wife at the point he shared the story of what happened to him that fall night, which was just 2 months previously, according to him, right? Everyone sat there in a stunned silence after he had gotten done with telling his story until someone spoke up and commented on the craziness of the story and nervously laughed. Then Chuck laughed like he always did. Yeah, it was a wild story, right? Look at all you guys believing all that mess. I don't know for sure whether Chuck was telling the truth, whether it was just a story he made up or something he'd read online somewhere. But I do know the way his face looked, telling his story to a bunch of construction workers. Tired and drawn. Haunted like a man who fully believed everything that happened to him and his family. Chuck, Pete, and I eventually became good friends. Occasionally, I would ask him about his experience for some other details or anything, and everything I was coldly shut down, he thought I was poking at him. I assume he, and eventually I stopped asking, and after that job, everyone went their separate ways, and I never saw or heard from him again. I always thought it was just a crazy story until I started delving into the world of aliens, the paranormal, listening to this podcast. I believe something happened to him, and too many things line up for it to be just a coincidence. Maybe he was under the influence and misremembered the entire night. I don't know. But what I know and will always remember was his face and his eyes as he recounted his story. The face of a man who knows that he had this horrific experience. And again, I want to remind the reader, Alex Fasciani here, the editor of this story, that what happened to him was that, I'm going to just read it one more time, just in case you guys missed it in that whole story.
I definitely did not miss this.
Yeah. It was, he described the feeling of ejaculating over and repeatedly as if he was being milked. He remembered screaming as this was happening to him. Then he either passed out or was put under again.
Happened to same thing that happened to Barney Hill. He described something similar.
Hold on. I must stress to everyone, for those on Patreon, you got to watch it. You got to see his face. But to those of you a few months down the road, when you hear this, the entire time Alex is like, there he was. Being ejaculated multiple times. Mathis was just like, had this creepy nod smile.
Go
like,
on.
Yeah.
Go on. I told you the machine existed. I told you the machine was real.
That's just such a hot take. I told you the machine existed.
I told you.
Non-believers.
Milked by an alien. That's why they won't do it to me, because I want it.
They'll come when they're called, though, straight over to you in L.A.
I wish they would. That is horrifying, though, because the thing is, the kids are like, seriousness, if this is, we would take this as like true and we think it really happened. I mean, that's the thread. All these people who go through this, it's horribly non-consensual. Like, they don't want to be doing it. It's all very forced orgasms. It's all like, machinery doing it. It's like all very sexual, assaulty, rapey kind of vibes in that, like, none of them want this. None of
right.
them.
Right.
So it's not fun. But yeah. also Sorry, the fact Chuck. That he goes, yeah, look at you all believe in me. I was like, you know, he throws that little cast a little shadow of
a
doubt.
A kernel of unreliable narrator.
Yeah, a little bit. But that's a phenomenal. That was a good story. It's a very good, good story. I hope Chuck is doing all right wherever he is. Alex, thank you for that. Jesse.
Hey, no worries.
What you got?
It's so weird to go the exact totally different direction with this. And it's a weird follow-up. I have no alien ejaculation in this story at all.
Unfortunate.
Well, what's the point?
Right?
Yeah, what is even the point of this? What I do have, though, for you is the Internet Archive.
Ooh,
not sure if you all are following what's been going on lately.
No.
But the Internet Archive, for those of you who are familiar, is a website where you can find all sorts of stuff. It's a nonprofit that provides free digitized versions of various media or old websites through the Wayback Machine, games, books, music, whatever. So much stuff is there. It's basically a storehouse of all the things that may potentially be lost to time, or at least that's their objective, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, they recently came into some legal trouble for the fact that hosting books might be copyright infringement. And in 2020, HarperCollins, Penguin Random House, and a bunch of other ones that I can't remember right now, sued them for the fact that basically they're just putting books online. And
gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
The Internet Archive was like, it's like a library. We're just, the books are available and people can look at the books. And these companies are like, no. You are literally just taking books and putting them online. And then you're like, please donate to us. And so it became a big legal thing. Anyway, the judge on that case, that I think was in New York at the time, agreed with the companies and said that, you know, they're absolutely correct. This is copyright infringement. Take down those books. But they appealed it and they went to an appeals court. And literally today we got our ruling on this. The appeals court agrees with the lower courts that scanning books and offering them to the world online isn't transformative, which is something that in our job we have to deal with quite often. Especially
back,
YouTube,
you know,
space.
In the video game world, yeah.
As a guy who's been doing Let's Plays for a long time, I understand.
Yeah, so they said it wasn't transformative enough. And the appeals court also said that the Internet Archive scanning and lending isn't controlled digital lending, very much like a library would do. So that was no good either. They agreed with that.
To somebody who's used Internet Archive for one or two books, you have to like log in and you have to borrow it for an hour. And then after the hour, you have to like re-ask to borrow it from the only.
And then only after a while are you like, are they like, do you want to use this for like a day?
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. The three body panel, the three judges who are on the appeals court said, IA, Internet Archive, copies of works in full and then makes these copies available to the public in their entirety. It does not do this to achieve a transformative secondary purpose, but to supplant the originals. And that's kind of the vibe that the courts and the companies were going for, which is you're not doing this to like, hey, we're supporting the artists. You're literally just stealing their work and putting it online. I'm not sure if I agree with that completely, because the whole point of the Internet Archive is to save things for when, like, I don't know, people decide to get rid of the books, or a website like the Wayback Machine, like people will literally remove stuff from their websites to cover up weird things. And that, I don't know. And I'm not sure where I fall on that, but the courts did reject one of the lower court findings that, because they're a nonprofit and they're asking for donations, that somehow it means they're profiting off the books.
That doesn't really,
they were like, no, that's
out.
If you start saying that, then anything that we do online that's for a nonprofit purpose, but like, please donate, like Wikipedia.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you can't say that.
Like writing about somebody's life, they're like, you need to get the rights to that person's life to write a Wikipedia page about them.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like, no. So at this point, the only thing left for the Internet Archive to do is go to the Supreme Court. But will they take it? Will they even agree with them? Who knows?
I fucking hope so.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're facing more stuff because I guess a similar suit was filed by record labels over the Internet Archive's Great 78 program, which if you haven't seen, that's actually really cool. Basically, they're collecting vintage 20th century
like records,
78 RPM recordings and digitizing them
awesome.
And then making them free to the public. That's like super freaking cool.
Preservation.
Yeah, that's pure preservation. And now they're being sued because, you know, some guy somewhere was like, we can still make a buck off of that. How
it's
dare
a
they?
Different recording. It's like through a 78 RPM record player. It's not even the same. Whatever.
Exactly. It's one of those things where, like, they're just because it's available. It's the same.
And people conflate this. People conflate this. Like, people who argue against this shit, they like come at you and they conflate this with like not wanting people to make money off things they've made. And it's like, you know, I guess in the case of a book that's been out for 3 months that lives or dies by how many it sells, I would be mad if the Internet Archive made that book available, which maybe they do.
Sure.
You know, I don't know. But a fucking record from the 30s that is recorded on like bad technology that you're listening to for its historical context way more than you're listening to it to like get around iTunes. That's as slippery of a slope as any of this. To me, that's shit. That's fucking in bad faith. You're just like flexing to destroy free archives.
That's literally. Unfortunately, the biggest problem is that there's like, where do you draw the line? Because if you have like books from the 1930s, right, that no one's buying, but it's nice to have an archive of like how to pick up ladies, you know, like
right.
that things like that. To have,
you like to call that one up from time to time.
You know, I think it's every once in a while I'll get like a gag gift and it's like talking to women 1924. And I'm like, nice. I love this.
I think you can still use that on like a train. Like if you're on a train, that's still the sure. rules. Yeah.
But there's all sorts of different things like radio broadcasts or there's so many things that archival purposes. It reminds me of, and this is in the gaming space for us at least, when there was several websites on YouTube that hosted old Nintendo music. And Nintendo went after them and was like, take that down. And everyone's like, but there's no place to listen to it otherwise. You haven't provided one, Nintendo. And it became a huge issue. And I think that's one of those things where if the person, for example, who is responsible for 20th century 78 RPM records is not providing them, that's on them. And the fact that people get upset, it's a huge issue, and it's just one of those things that as time goes on, we're going to lose more and more stuff. And so being able to digitize it and present it to the world and save it is, if anything, a noble cause.
It's crazy that anybody cares that super rich people get as much money as possible besides the rich people themselves. It really doesn't make sense.
Listen, it's not just an America thing. Obviously, it's a worldwide thing.
I feel like it's a huge problem here especially, though.
I agree. I think it's but there's this weird thing with like people who look up to them that they almost feel like they're billionaires in waiting.
Yeah, you think you're going to be rich, you dumb dummy. The system's rigged against you.
Yeah, they go to fight for these billionaires because what if it's them one day?
But there's an inherent problem, which is, be it courts or congressmen or whoever, the idea is that the rich have all the money, they will continue to have all the money, but they also fund your campaigns. Mm-hmm. So you can't go against them. Because and so it's like, all right, well, my campaign,
Citizens United ruined all that. They removed it and fucked it all over.
And if you don't listen, you don't get money, and then you don't get reelected, and then you lose your job.
Warp, warp, warp. Yep. Well, let me wrap this up. Speaking of keeping things as they are and maintaining a record of them all, to kind of wrap up the UFO stuff from myself, I texted you guys last night a little bit about a weird thing, and it's been being looked into across multiple different news networks. And a few months ago, if you all remember, David Grush testified to Congress publicly. It was live streamed.
This is some
2 hours
stuff.
Long.
This is some bizarre stuff, actually.
Talked about everything from knowing the names of the companies, even saying some of them. Most of it was like, I can't tell you here. I need to skip for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, also, that's what I was going to say. He's also taking extra care to be super careful putting boundaries between the things that he can and cannot say.
If you've never watched that interview, fucking go watch it.
It's crazy.
Especially if you're one of the people that are like, the UFO world is like all imaginary. Like, just go watch the interview. But
it still feels crazy.
We don't know when it was done, but there have been edits to the live streams themselves. Like, it shows that it was a live stream. And the stuff that's been edited out has been about the non-human biologics. And it's not just one edit. In one part, there's multiple edits throughout that cut it. And I'm going to link you guys the AP video that's edited. The CBS video was edited as well. And I need to check. They were looking into the NBC one. I haven't seen much there. But here is the it's synced up to the time. You can go watch it. You will clearly see when the edit takes place. It's not very particular unless you're literally going through the 2 hour stream. For anybody who's going and looking this up, it is the Congress holds UFO hearing with retired Major David Grush from a year ago now, which is crazy. Not a few months. It was a year now. And it's about a minute 54 and 18 or so seconds is the first one. Boys, go ahead and if you haven't watched it, go ahead and watch it.
A minute 54?
An hour 54. Hour right. 54 minutes and 20 seconds. Sorry.
Okay, let's see here. Hour
54 minutes.
20 it should be synced seconds. Up to the link I sent
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like around 28 seconds. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, but I want like let the build up of the question kind of.
Right. It just kind of skips. It's just literally a fucking cut in the footage.
Okay. There is also another cut. At
wait,
one
hold on, hold on, yeah, hold, yeah, on yeah. hold on, hold on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I clearly screwed up. Because I accidentally, I guess, put in the wrong message.
Oh, yeah, the very...
The wrong link or something? Because the video I'm watching is the AP
yes,
video.
That is correct.
But I don't... At
1 hour, 54 seconds... I mean, 54 minutes, 20 seconds. Go from there.
I am.
It happens at the 28-second mark, I think.
Trying to get to this 113 one, but the fucking scrubber is like being a little dippy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's clearly something there.
Well, it's cut. That's what it is. It's a cut out piece of the interview of the live stream.
Okay, but like,
removed.
Why? What was the question that was there originally?
So, everybody went back to the transcript, which is publicly available.
Yeah,
and
which
it
is in
I'm
going
to read
also.
You specific. Yeah, it's in our text. I'm going to specifically, okay. I'll just read you the very thing that was removed. down here. Miss Mace, the congresswoman says, okay, you say that the government is in possession of potentially non-human spacecraft. Based on your experience and extensive conversations with experts, do you believe our government has made contact with intelligent extraterrestrials? Grush says, it is something I cannot discuss in a public setting. Then the edit occurs. She goes on to say, and was this documentary evidence, this video photos eyewitness, like how would that be determined? And she goes, and I cannot ask when you think this occurred. If you believe we have crashed craft, as stated earlier, do we have the bodies of pilots who piloted the craft? Grush answers, as I have stated publicly already in my News Nation interview, biologics came with some of these recoveries. Yes. Were they, I guess, human or non-human biologics? Grush, non-human biologics. And that was the assessment of people with direct knowledge on the program I talked to that are currently still at the program.
Whatever you believe, that is fishy as shit.
That got removed.
Yeah, whatever you believe.
Also,
that's
another
fishy shit.
Back and forth that was removed at 1 hour, 13 minutes, and 33 seconds or so. Same thing, another weird fucking just like hard cut. So somebody went into the YouTube live stream post the live stream and with the YouTube editor snipped out bits and pieces. The other part, it's also removed from the AP article as well, the written article.
That's
whole thing is
wild,
now gone
that's
as well.
The wild part to me.
So like, it's not just the video, it's also the written articles, and people are trying to dig through
how
some
do you
of these
get
things
the
to
AP
see
to retract information.
Yeah,
multiple parts.
I can't figure out what the like what is the point if we already have the information.
Maybe they'll contact us too and we'll find out.
Yeah, right. Like it'll tell us to cut it out. It's weird. Yeah. Again, it's not just AP, it's also CBS. They're checking NBC. Like it seems like it's a weird like after the fact, like remove it. And I don't like why. I don't understand that line of questioning.
Is there any conversation happening as to the why?
No, it's only just being discovered as of yesterday. It was found out. And so I don't know how long it's been edited for. Like if only someone's starting to stumble on it now, because unless you watch the live stream, what are the chances people are going to go back and watch the live stream after like the first week of buzz?
Sure.
I don't know. We have no answer as to why yet. People said they have emailed and reached out to AP, but no answer. Nobody's in nothing yet.
Huh.
And this is like one of those parts where you just throw it in the bucket of like, and it makes me sound crazy.
Like,
but
what
it's
the
also
fuck is that? Yeah.
Happening. Why?
It is weird. It, again, this seems like one of those things where like, let's make it even more weird and get more people's attention on this. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe more, or like strange. It's disinformation. They're purposely just doing it to fuck around. Like, I don't know. Like, who knows? But it's not just on one video with one network. It's on multiple videos across multiple networks and written articles. So it's like,
yeah, it's weird.
It's purposeful. But why? And why only that section of like the conversation and every, and it makes, I don't know. But that's where I'm like, I feel insane. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Hardcore, dude.
But yeah, it's one of those things that's just like somebody stumbled across it, and
it's really weird. The press fucks me up more than anything.
Right. It's literally like AP, and it's not like fucking weird other things. People like the news places that people trust and would go to read articles or watch interviews specifically. Like, why? I don't know. It's fucking weird.
Insane.
So I think there's been 3 or 4 edits found so far. That might be all there is. I haven't checked to see if there's been any updates since last night. I wanted to bring it up because it's just one of those things that's just like, again, it's like that tertiary sort of evidence of like, okay, but why? Out of all the things, why the non-human biologic stuff specifically? I don't know.
Great question.
Yeah, leave that
great
with you
question.
And bring you closer to my insanity and why I lose my mind with this shit. Because I'll never have an answer. I'll never know. No one's going to say anything. AP's not going to say shit. CBS ain't going to say shit. And no one's going to talk about this because only a little subreddit on like kind of discovered it. Like it's a, like so little people are going to notice it. It's not going to matter. So
that's why we got to keep watching the skies, baby.
Keep watching the skies.
Keep watching the skies, baby.
Thank you all so much for supporting us here at patreon.com/IlluminatiPod. We'll be back next week with a brand new minisode for you all. We appreciate you. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.